read this little introduction that I've drawn with Arivab, 2017. Many great saints and rishis and sages and rajarshis and all assembled jivas have come here to Radhakund to worship Lord Gauranga on his appearance day. We saw some very nice descriptions of the relationship of Advaitacharya, or the role that Advaitacharya played in bringing Lord Gauranga to this world. No Advaita, no Gauranga. No Gauranga, no Nityananda. And all three are required. They're all equal manifestations of the transcendental truth. So that's why it says, Panchatattvakam Krishnam Bhakti Rupa Surupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakti Shaktikam. The transcendence manifested with all Shakti Shaktiman. Three are Shaktiman and two are Shakti. One includes all the jivas, all the Buddha jivas. Srivas Thakur. He's Jiva Tattva. And then the other includes the goal of the jivas, bhakti. Bhakti is bhakti shakti gadadhar, ladini shakti. And then Advaita Prabhu and Nityananda Prabhu and Gauranga Mahaprabhu. These are the teen Prabhus. So these are all called Shaktiman. They're Vishnu Tattva and Shakti Tattva. So the totality of the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth is a person, an individual person, and he's also unlimited energies. Shaktis, Shakti, Shakti, Man, Abed. So they're all there together. You can't separate. You can't say, oh, Nityananda is good, Advaita is not good. Gauranga is good, Advaita is not good. They're just, it's like saying your index finger is good, but your middle finger is bad, and your ring finger is good. No, they're all good, and they're all necessary. This is Panch. There's five fingers and one hand. There's one tattva and five members. Pancha tattva. So it's the truth and nothing but the truth. You can't get Brajaprem without Advaita. You can't get Brajaprem without Srivas. All Panchatattva required. From the beginning of bhakti, whether you're joining some institution, preaching mission, or whether you're sitting on the banks of Radhakund in Babaji Vesh, meditating Astakali Leela, there's something in common with all devotees of Radha and Krishna. And what is that commonality? The commonality is the absolute necessity to take shelter of the Panchatattva. You would think that once you enter the path of Raghunuga Bhakti, now it's just spontaneous and do whatever you want. But it's spontaneous, follow the rules and regulations of Raghu Bhakti, Shravanam Kirtan Vishnu Smaranam. So you come here and you enter this path of Leela Smaran, which is the main practice, which is the most difficult thing to do, but that's the goal, to be absorbed in meditating around Krishna's Leelas. And then you meet your Guru and he gives you pranali, if you're that fortunate and that lucky. And then he tells you, yes, and by the way, before you do anything, you have to chant four rounds of the Panchatattva mantra. So when you join a preaching mission or when you become just introduced to Krishna consciousness, generally you chant one round. Or don't even chant one round. Actually, it's asked to chant maybe one time before each round. There's different instructions. But the principle is the same. The detail varies from guru to guru. Some gurus say, and over on this side, on the outside of the preaching modern preaching missions of the world, that generally the gurus are saying one round of Panchatattva mantra, or in the case of Sri Advaita, Sri Anantadas Babaji, he requires four rounds. So that's Sri Gauranga Nityananda Sri Advaita Chandra Gadadhara Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivrinda. This mantra.
Because it also has a lot of variation.
Excuse me?
This one also has a lot of variation.
Panchatattva mantra has a lot of variation. The two, yes, there's, this one is pretty much, in terms of numbers, the majority of Gaudiya Vaishnavas chant this mantra. But in terms of India, because there's quite a few million Gaudiyas in Orissa, Assam, Bengal, Bangladesh, all over the place. But worldwide, there's lots of Gaudiyas also. Not the same number, but several, well, a handful, maybe a few, a couple million people are involved with various preaching missions. And when they come in contact, they hear another mantra, which is, in the biographies, it's said that that mantra started about 80 years ago with Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, I believe so. It's in a biography, Obi-Al Kapoor and other people writing biographies. He, in his ecstasy of Gaur Bhav, because he spent many years in Navadvip doing bhajan, then he chanted, in his great ecstasy, seeing the Leelas of Gauranga, he's, oh, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktarinda. So that became popular with those that are tightly connected to Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. But before he was chanting that, there was lots of Gaudiyas chanting Panchatattva Mantra. So if you want to say the oldest one, where it arises, I can't see in Shastra. What I see in Shastra, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's many different prayers and mantras introducing each chapter, Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita, introducing the subject matter and all as a summary of a Paribhasa Sutra of that chapter. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, usually Krishna's Kaviraj summarizes the theme or the story or the leela or the teaching of that chapter in a Sanskrit verse, which he wrote Govinda Leelamrita first. On the banks of Shyamakund, Krishna's Kaviraj wrote Govinda Leelamrita because he was absorbed meditating in Astakali Leela of Radha and Krishna, being guided by the Astakam of Rupa Goswami, summarizing the Astayam of Radha Govinda Yuga. So then he meditated on those shlokas, and from those shlokas, and by the grace of Rupa Goswami Pad and Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he manifested. From eight shlokas came 3,000 shlokas. Eko Bahusham. From one comes many. So this is the power. There's one mantra, Hare Krishna mantra. It's only three words. Hare Krishna Ram. But yet so many meanings are there. Some acharyas and some great devotees, they take the meaning to be Radha and Krishna. Well, we can't, of course that's true. Hare, Hara, Radha. And they take the meaning, others like Raghunath Das and Vishnu Chakravarti, they take the meaning to be Krishna. And every word is Krishna. Hari is Hari. And that's the angle of the Mantri Bhava Upasakas. They chant the holy name of the Lord, thinking that they're pleasing the heart and ears of Radharani. And of course, if Radharani is pleased, then Krishna is pleased. As he tells in Adi Purana to Arjuna, he who says he's my devotee is not my devotee. But he who claims to be a devotee of my devotee, I truly accept as my dear one. So the worshippers of Radharani, the Mantris and Sakis and Mandri Bhav, Rag Marg, they worship Radha and Krishna together with a special emphasis and intimacy with Srimati Radharani specifically. So when they chant the Maha Mantra, they try to bring Krishna into every word in various. They try to bring the form of Krishna into every word of the mantra and the qualities of Krishna and various pastimes of Krishna with Radharani. Because if Krishna is somewhere, then Radharani is not far behind, or she's right there. So Raghunath Sridhas Goswami Pad and Vishnu Chakravarti Pad, they bring out the meaning of, they bring out Krishna's, they illuminate Krishna's presence in the Maha Mantra to the fullest extent of a conjugal vilas with Radharani. So that actually Maha Mantra is Radha and Krishna, but when Radha and Krishna are together, that's called Sangha, associating together. And the deepest and fullest meaning of Sangha means mitun, which means the union of man and woman. This is called Sangha and Sangini. It's another Sanskrit way of saying lover and beloved, Sangha and Sangini. So this Mahamantra is actually Radha and Krishna, ultimately Krishna stealing Radharani's patience, Hari, then Krishna attracting and pulling and drawing and magnetizing her and drawing her into the kunjas, and then Raman enjoying various Ramana, loving intimacies with Radharani in the kunja leelas. That's in essence a summary of what they're saying. So it's very high meditation. So we have to approach the holy name according to our adhikar and our qualification, which can be assessed by the guru, who's in tune with our heart and mind, or by our own sincere, by the Chaitavapusha, Acharya Chaitavapusha. In 11th canto of Bhagavatam, it says the Acharya Chaitavapusha, that the guru comes in Vapu, the form of Acharya, the Sadguru, to give Diksha mantras and show the way of Prema Bhakti and to reveal the spiritual world and the dynamic, loving relationship that one has with Radha and Krishna. That's the Acharya. He follows that path and he lives that path and he shares that path with others that want to walk the same path and attain this same coveted goal of the service of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani in the kunjas of Vrindavan. And then if the Acharya is not there, the second Vapu, the second form of Guru is Chaitya. Chaitya means Antaryami, Paramatma, Super Soul. So Guru in the heart, either Guru will tell you externally or Guru in the heart, who knows your Adhikar better than anyone. If one is really honest, one is really sincere in his speech, if he's honest and truthful in his speech and his behavior, then Krishna agrees to make an alliance with him or her. He makes an alliance, becomes an ally, a favorable party within the heart. Then he says, you have this adhikar, this is good for you. So then he speaks to the devotee in the form of prerna. P-R-E-R-N-A. You know Hindi? No, I don't either. But prerna means inspiration. I know that much. I know this one word. Prerna.
I'm thinking maybe there would be too much noise for recording. I'm thinking of our audience on SoundCloud. Can we close the windows or it would be too dark?
No, this is what makes the classes different. our benign and compassionate sound engineer and Shuddha Bhakt of Radha and Krishna, pure devotee of Radha and Krishna, he wants to make recommendations. We close the door to keep out the kirtan across the street from Anitai Dham. And I said, no, this is part of the ambience of these classes from Radhakund. Take away the ambience. Because as my guru told me once, I was asking about the devotees, you know, I was asking about a Leela Stali. And he said in Vrindavan, two things are important. There's the power and significance of the place, and there's the power and significance of the devotees that live in that place. That's like, for example, you go to Nandagaon, to the Bhajan Stali, at least one of the Bhajan Stalis, a very lonely Nirjan Stali of Rupa Goswami at Terkadam. And Terkadamba is actually when Rupa Goswami settled there, he chose that place, Terkadam, because it's just, he saw leelas going on there, some very confidential and beautiful leelas. He saw why he was want. First, he actually came on that side. He had visited Sanatana Goswami in Pavan Sarovara. His elder brother was also his guru. Sanatana Goswami, he's a disciple of Vidya Vachaspati, which he tells himself in Hari Bhakti Vilas. I've taken Diksha from Vidya Vidyavachaspati, whom we don't know anything about. We certainly know his disciple was a siddha, a nitya siddha at that. And he came to Nandagram after seeing his brother, and he's wandering there. And he came out in the fields east of Nandababa's palace, Nandabhavan, to visit Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is doing bhajan and Nandagam at a place called Dandavats, Jashirani. Lord Shiva is doing bhajan in several places in Nandagam, and one place is called Ashishvara Mahadev. He's the Ash Ishvara. He's the Lord of Hope. Ash means hope. Ashabandha. It's one of the nine qualities of Bhav. Ashabandha. When a devotee comes to the level of Bhava, then he has intense burning hope. That he has a certain confidence arises within him. Very strong confidence. That I hope very soon I will see my Swamini, Radha. And very soon, I'm hoping against hope. I've positioned myself in their Leela Bhumi, Vrindavan, and their Madhyan Leela Stali of Radhakund. And I've aligned myself on taking the shelter of great Siddha Mahatmas and Mahapurushas through Diksha and Shiksha. And I'm following their teachings and instructions and doing bhajan accordingly, and doing everything I can within my means to control mind and senses and love and honor and serve all and respect all and always speak truth at every moment. And because of all these things, we have hope to get darshan of Radha and Krishna in this very life. So that's Ashabandha. So he had hope to get darshan of Krishna. Lord Shiva came to get darshan of Krishna, but he was denied because Mother Yashoda said, I don't know who you're, some Saru Baba, some tantric yogi. I don't know. You say you're Mahadev Shiva. I don't know who you are. But you're looking too ferocious, too scary. All those, what are all those skulls? You have all these dead bodies around your neck. And you have these, that's okay, they're dead. But these snakes are alive. Dead skull is okay, no problem. Bunch of dead heads around your neck. They're actually heads of Vaishnavas, by the way. It's told in Radha Krishna Ganesh Deepika, or somewhere I read in one of our Goswami books. It's the heads of Vaishnavas. Actually, in one Purana, I told this in my Shiva Tattva. I don't know if you ever heard of Shiva Tattva tapes. It's really good stuff, actually. I just remember it time to time. But once Shiva was sitting with Parvati, and she said, Mahadev. He was in a very relaxed mood. Shankar, Lord Shiva, said, Mahadev, I have one question. Don't mind, it's a little personal. I never asked you before. I was shy, but now I've got to know you. We've been married for some time. So I feel a little confident. I can ask you the very personal question. Don't mind. Okay? Can I ask a question? Shiva says, yes, certainly, Devi, Boliye. Oh, Mahadev, or Prabhu, who you have this necklace, this mala, this mastak mala around your neck, and a necklace of skulls. Pray tell, who are they? And Lord Shiva said, Devi, are you sure you want to know the answer? Yes, I'm really curious. No, that's okay. You need not know. It probably wouldn't be good for you to know. No, I really want to know. Do you know who they are? These skulls are your heads. And I only have a few of your heads around my neck. But actually, you've taken so many births that your skulls piled up to be as big as Mount Meru. But I've only selected a few of them. like Krishna says in Gita, because Shiva Tattva, Krishna Tattva, the same. When Arjuna said, Krishna, how is it that you're about my age, Krishna? We're the same age. We're practically like brothers. But you're telling me that in the beginning of fourth chapter of Gita, Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, verse 1, Imam Vivashita Yogam, Ikshvaku Manave Bravat, says you're saying in the beginning of creation you spoke this Bhagavad Gita science, this Bhagavad Tattva, Jiva Tattva, Karma Tattva, Kala Tattva, Prakriti Tattva, all these subjects. You spoke these tattvas to the sun god, then Ikshvaku, then Manu. How is it? You're a young man. Bahoni me yatitani. He says, many, many births, many, many births both you and I have taken, but you cannot remember that Maya can, because you keep changing your body, and I never change my body. Krishna's eternal. So Shiva is eternal, nitya. At any rate, that's the side point. So now Shiva came to see Krishna, and Yashoda said, my Lala, he was just born. He was just a little boy, little baby. And Shiva wanted to bless his eyes and purify his, well, not purify, but bless his eyes by having the sweet darshan of Gopal and Nandagam as a young baby. But then Yashoda said, no, you'll scare him, all those snakes. And so then she said, go, no, get out. So he was very unhappy. So he wanted to fulfill his desire, so he resorted to tapasya. So he sat in the middle of the fields in Padmasan, meditating under a bail tree, bilva tree, and praying. He was hoping against hope, asha. Asha means hope. He was hoping, he was praying, oh Krishna, I love you so much. I'm your dear devotee. I'm Vaishnavam. Don't you know I'm Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu? I'm the great, Shambhu is the greatest of all the Vaishnavas. And you're Vishnu, you're Swayam Bhagavan. Why can't I have your darshan? So he's praying, so his name is Ashishwar. And then, long story, Krishna's crying, and finally they found out why, and this and that. That's for when you go on Prikama, then you hear all these stories. But this, why did, so that's why Rupa Goswami went there. And then he got inspired by Lord Shiva. Then nearby, he started doing bhajan. Let's go back to Lord Chaitanya. So we're describing, because all roads end in Braj or end with Radharani eventually. Radhe, Radhe. What to do? This is a problem. I don't know any doctors. All the doctors around here have the same disease, so they can't cure me. They only talk about Radharani. The doctors over here in Radhakund. If you're a doctor in Radhakund, what will you talk about? Radharani? What to say? So why did Lord Chaitanya come? So Advaitacharya is a big part of it. So it starts off with Advaitacharya and Madhavendrapuri, the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. So Advaitacharya met Madhavendrapuri, and he said, my name, when they first met, he said, my name is Kamalaksha, because that's, Advaitacharya is, of course, his title, but his birth name was Mishra, his last name is Mishra, he's a son of Kubera Mishra, and his name was Kamalaksha Mishra, and he's also called Veda Panchanana. Veda Panchanana, because he's in Chaitanya Bhagavat, he's often referred to as Veda Panchanana. Ana means face. In the Bhagavatam, they're describing Dwarkalila, the beauty of Rukmini, when she came out of the Chandrabhaga temple to get on the horse to after her puja on her wet, on her Swayamvara, right before Krishna kidnapped her. It's a description, a beautiful verse describing the unbelievable beauty of the goddess of fortune, the supreme Lakshmi Rukmini. When she came out, it said, Ruchir Anana. Ruchir Anana said her face, one of the phrases in Sanskrit, said Ruchir Anana, means her face, her anana, was so beautiful you could taste it. Ruchi means taste. Ruchirānana. So when the soldiers, then Shishupal and all these other people that were supposed to marry Rukmini, or they thought they would, when they saw Rukmini's beauty, especially her Ruchirānana, her very beautiful, delightful, charming, captivating face, they felt they went unconscious. They fell off their horses. That was very convenient. Because Krishna, he didn't fall off his horse. His brain was flipped over, but he didn't fall off his horse. Because he had a mission to kidnap Rukmini on her wedding day. So he kidnapped her. So this is Anana. So Advaita Acharya's name is Veda Panchananana, because Panch means five and Anana means face. And five faces means Lord Shiva. Because Advaita Acharya is Sadashiva. It's Panchamukh Hanuman and Panchamukh Shiva. So he, Veda Panchanana. In his five mouths, he had the Vedas. He had all the Vedic knowledges there. So therefore, he was Acharya. So he said, my name is Kamalaksha. And my residence is in Shantipur on the Ganga. You are Bhakti Acharya and a Tyagi. Please accept me as your Shishya and teach me Bhakti. So then he begins here by saying, one day Advaita met his guru and he revealed his mind. O Gurudev, O Srila Puripad, this powerful Kali Yuga is destroying everyone. There's nowhere, no one's accepting bhakti. Wherever you go, you just see all unclean and bad habits and activities. You never hear anyone chanting the name Krishna. I don't find any means or way to deliver these people from this ignorance and this tamasic lifestyle they're living. Then Srila Puripad, Madhavendra Puri said, Kamalaksha, you're Karuna Sindhu. Your consciousness, the level and degree of your consciousness is not found in any ordinary person. Only a divinely empowered being has such a consciousness. Unless God Himself incarnates and comes to this world, there's no way to establish religion. The appearance or avirbhava Gauranga is told in a book, Ananta Samhita, which cannot be found anywhere, by the way, nowadays. But it's also referred to by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his writings to support and prove the existence and appearance of Gauranga in Shastra. So here even, it's quoted here. So Madhavendra Puri showed a reference, and it says this, Sri Nanda Nandan Sadaishwarya Purna will appear in Navadvip with the name Gauranga. Gauranga will deliver the entire world by giving love of God through the means of chanting the holy names. Thus Gauranga will fulfill the desire of every fallen soul. As Advaita heard this, he was filled with ecstatic symptoms and he chanted Gauranga's name for 3 hours. That's why I started a class, Bhaja Gauranga. Gauranga! Gauranga! Gauranga!
Gauranga!
And then he spoke this, Goramora Pranapati Janhantare Pan Veda Dharma Langit Muitaha Chalijan Goranga 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 Goranga. Lord Goranga is my Mora Pranapati. He's the Pati, he's the Lord of my Pran, the Lord of my life. Yahan Tarepan. I will go anywhere I find him, even if I have to transgress the Vedic injunctions. Veda Dharma Lungi means step over. I will go there. Advaita sang this verse over and over again. Ngora mora pranapati janha taripan Veda Dharma Lungi mui taha chali jan. Ngora mora pranapati janha taripan Veda Dharma Lungi mui taha chali jan. He danced with other devotees and they all, within a short time, waves of prema flooded everywhere, more than the Ganga. They cried in ecstasy. Not like us. They cried in ecstasy when they chanted the name Gauranga. They said, I have Gauranga, I have Gauranga. I've attained Gauranga. And a waiter ran this way and that way. And he lost consciousness and rolled on the ground. And somehow restraining his divine ecstasy, Advaita Kamalaksha wrote down that verse from Ananta Samhita. That was all the proof he needed. Now he was convinced. So this is a very nice introduction to the appearance of Gauranga Mahaprabhu.